Welcome to the BeGuards podcast, a cast where we invite you to join us on our exciting journey of our EU project that we call BeGuards for Resilient Beekeeping in the Future. It's an EU-funded project with 27 eager partners. It's an amazing journey with some of the best scientists, advisors and beekeepers within their fields. We want, with this podcast, to update you regularly on our activities. We hope to produce a lot of podcasts during the project period. We try to make them on location, since it's simply nicer to talk face to face. Today, in our very first BeGuards podcast, we introduce you to Cecilia Koster from Italy, who accepted the big challenge to lead this impressive consortium. We simply ask Cecilia to give us an overview of the project. Hey everybody, I'm sitting here in beautiful Bilbao in Spain. We have just finished our workshop on the BeGuard project and I'm sitting here together with Cecilia Koster from Italy. Cecilia, please present yourself.
Hi, hello Fleming. Right, well, I'm Cecilia Koster and I guess the reason I'm here is because actually I've been involved in COLOS for many years and I'm chairing the task force on bee breeding. Actually, the official name is Research Network for Sustainable Bee Breeding. And this brought us to writing a proposal for an EU call on resilient beekeeping.
Nice. And tell us a little bit about this. How was it? How did you put together the team and how was the process to kind of get the project?
Well, we already had a team actually because we've been cooperating.
Team, so to say.
Yeah, so within the COLOS task force, we've been cooperating, many of us, for many years with lots of different projects. And that's our main focus. Our main focus is honeybee biodiversity and how to use this biodiversity to breed resilient honeybees. Bees that are resistant to varroa, bees that are adapted to local environments. So when the resilient beekeeping call came out, we realized that really this was something that we had a lot of expertise in already. Knowledge and that we could do something about. And also we thought it was a great opportunity to involve beekeepers and try and produce something that the beekeeping world can use to try and give some proof that a different kind of beekeeping is possible.
So you've really been doing quite a lot of, you could say, so to say, projects over the year, and this was actually the possibility to kind of improve and finish and extend what you already did.
Exactly. You're right, Fleming. That's exactly it. We had one big experiment across Europe in which we saw that local honeybee populations have a chance to survive, have a better chance of survival under stressful conditions, i.e. without varroa treatment. And we also had another big project called EURBEST, in which we tested potentially or varroa-resistant lines or lines that had undergone some kind of selection for varroa. And there too we saw that local populations did better. And so yes, this call really from the EU, so probably there was some knowledge of EU officials and awareness of how important protection of local subspecies is and how important it is to try and have honeybee populations that don't need so much input from beekeepers. And of course there's a whole issue of climate change. And yes, and bees are so influenced by environment, so it's a really, really big thing also for beekeepers. The honey flows are really been changing. Honey productions are getting lower, honey yields are lower, so yes, there's a
you could say beekeeping within Europe is actually under pressure.
Yes, and maybe not only within Europe.
Yeah, okay, the whole world, yeah.
And in fact, in BeGuards, okay, so it was an EU call and most of the partners are European, but we extend further. So we have partners that are outside the EU and even outside, let's say, geographical Europe. Mm. We have partners from Argentina and from Israel, as well as from countries like Macedonia that is not in EU.
Yeah. So please give me some headlines on what is going to happen within this project. The project is running over how many years?
4 years.
And then let's just have some facts first. How many partners are we within the project?
27
partners.
Yes, that's many partners.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of partners, but we wanted to have a wide geographical range to cover many countries. Mm. I think we're 16 countries overall.
Yeah.
And also we wanted to have diverse kind of partners. Mm. So not only institutions like research institutes and universities, but also companies, beekeepers, consultants. Yes.
Stakeholders?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have an IT company, so we have different kinds of partners, and some have bigger roles and have some have smaller roles. Mm. But many of us have already collaborated, so there's a good feeling.
It's like a family, so to say.
Yeah.
Okay. So please give me some headlines on what's going to happen within the project.
So one thing that we do have a lot of experience in is big field studies.
Yeah.
So the first activity that's starting immediately and in fact is work package, or as we like to call them, WHOOPEE 1.
WHOOPEE, that's a new hot word.
Yeah, the new hot word. WHOOPEE 1 will have, most of the partners will be involved in WHOOPEE 1 and we'll have a big field study across Europe and beyond. And here we're going to test what we call an innovative kind of concept. So where basically we try and treat honeybees a bit less. We try and treat them less against varroa, and we try and treat them in a more, let's say, sustainable way, in a more environmentally friendly way. So by using biotechnical methods and then treating them only if they really, really need to be treated.
So need-based treatment, kind of.
Threshold-based.
Threshold. So I have to say, it's enormous field testing, so it's very nice. What happens more?
And then in this field study, then it will be associated. So on the one hand, we want to treat the bees less. And on the other hand, we also want to breed them by selecting traits that are linked to resilience, to varroa resistance. Mm. So then we also have a, let's say, smaller scale field study in which we go and look at mating under high infestation pressure to see whether if we use, so we have drones that are from highly infested colonies, and the hypothesis is that these drones are carrying resistance genes, and so they will mate with the queens, and then the queens will then propagate these resistance genes.
A very exciting word is turning up there, accelerated breeding.
Yeah, also accelerated, because the current breeding programs usually are over 2 years.
Yeah.
And so what we want to try and do is actually then do the evaluations the first year to just be quicker in doing the reproduction cycle. And then we were talking before about climate change.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about resilience. Until now, I've talked about resistance. But it's not only the resistance to varroa, it's also the adaptation to climate change and how this interacts with the varroa resistance. So, for example, how long... So the colony development cycle is really important. And so we have equipped... And so, of course, we're doing many observations in the traditional way and with our expertise and going and looking at the colonies. So seeing that climate change is really important nowadays and it's influencing honeybee colonies a lot.
We don't
know how much and exactly how. No. So with these digital devices that we're going to deploy, and what I was saying is that there we have the traditional scales that are measuring continuously the weight of the colony, so we can see that the bee is coming in and out and the nectar coming in. But also we have this sensor which is spread across the hive and measures temperature in 5 different points, and was developed actually by colleagues from CREA within a project called BeeNet. And this sensor will really help us to monitor the colony development and the egg laying of the queen, so we can see when brood production and care stops throughout the season, and then this will be validated by the visual observations that we will be doing all across Europe, and this will be really interesting, but also useful as a breeding trait, because then we can potentially use this to breed from colonies that have a longer brood interruption, because that is when Varroa doesn't reproduce. And then, what else? And then, of course, we have all the fancy omics. We have the two girls from the Basque University, who are really brilliant, and they're looking at the genomics from a wide point of view. So they have this hollow genomic approach. So they're not just looking at the genome of the honeybee, but they're looking at the genome of the honeybee and all the associated microbiota. So to see all the balance of these really important microorganisms that are giving really good health benefits to bees, the same as happens with any organism. And then we also look at the immunity, social immunity and individual immunity, and there will be some of the apiaries that will be dedicated with special experiments on this. And then there is a colleague, from UK and Apimondia, Giles from Newcastle, and the colleagues from Apimondia, they will be looking at epidemiology. So the risk of the risk posed by emerging threats. I mean, these parasites like Tropilelops that are not yet here, but we're all afraid they will get here. So how well are we prepared to tackle these? So looking at the monitoring, the diagnosis, and compiling protocols and methods to be ready to face this. And then we have one whoopee, which will look at competition with other honeybees. This is a really big issue nowadays. Yeah, is there competition? So are honeybees posing a risk to biodiversity of all the other pollinators? And is this happening? Is it not? If it does happen, in what conditions? So one group of colleagues will be examining
that's really exciting, but really needed to do that. We really need to have it in. So that's nice.
And then we also have something that's a little bit different, which is looking at the environmental impact of beekeeping. What is the life cycle? Is there carbon footprint? What is the footprint? Will the innovative practices that we recommend also be more sustainable from an environmental point of view? So we have a small study on this. And then of course there is all our dissemination what I was saying about the field study at the beginning. Well, we will do it, all these institutions and the beekeepers and the partners that are involved in bee guards, but we want to outreach. So if you're a beekeeper and you're listening and you're interested, just look at our website and contact any of us. And we have a protocol which is, let's say, easier to apply that you can use. And you want to get information on how to treat your bees a bit less and in a more sustainable way. And we hope we can give you support and advice and also some proof at the end of the experiment of this. But if you want to join us from the beginning, we really would like to welcome you.
Really invited to be a part of this big...
Yes.
Consortium, this project.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Cecilia.
And we hope to have a booth in Apimondia. If you come to Apimondia, Denmark, with all those Vikings, we will have a booth especially there for bee guards, in which we will welcome all the beekeepers and we will have information. And I hope to have somebody who will be there all the time.
Yeah.
And of course we're also planning lots of other things to interact, and we will maybe also have round tables not only for bee guards but also for the various Colosse task forces.
So Cecilia, thanks a lot taking this on your shoulder, because you're the leader of 27 partners. It's a lot, it's a big project, but this is going to be such an exciting journey. And there's so many exciting things going to happen over the next years. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Fleming. Thank you for being Whoopee 9 leader.
Yeah, so you're welcome.
Thanks, Cecilia. I have to say, a lot of impressive balloons in the air to take care of. We will for sure come back to Cecilia several times to ask more deeper questions to become wiser and updated. the project has started. Thanks, dear listener, staying with us on our very first BeGuards podcast. More are coming for sure. Stay tuned on our homepage www.beguards.eu and enjoy our regular blogs. And please sign up for our newsletter on our homepage as well. Follow us on our social media on Facebook and Instagram. And no worries, we are also on other social medias as well. I'm Flemming Weisnes from Denmark. Talk to you soon.